In this episode, we are going to talk about how leaders' response to the COVID-19 crisis directly impacts employees' outlook and future for not just their career, their jobs, but also for their personal security with their families. And I'll also talk about what employers can do differently to change that for the better. So let's get into it.
Welcome to the Safety Pro Podcast, powered by iReport Source, helping you manage safety one episode at a time. With the constant regulatory and workplace culture challenges businesses face, we'll provide you with all the relevant information necessary to achieve a safer, more productive workplace. No management theories, platitudes, or guru speak, just actionable info you can use right away. Now here's your host, the Safety Pro himself, Blaine Hoffman.
Welcome back to the Safety Pro Podcast. As mentioned, how leaders are responding to the COVID-19 workplace pandemic, how it disrupts the workplace, I should say. We're going to talk about that, and I'm going to refer back to our friends at Gallup. They have some really good information and some data that they've shared recently. I'll have links in the show notes to this information as well. But we'll go ahead and get right into how leaders are responding and actually how that drives employees' perception, their confidence level, and if they whether or not they feel safe. Now, more than 3 weeks into the pandemic-driven cascade of cancellations, closings, and also the physical distancing, workplaces, especially in the U.S., were experiencing, you know, all kinds of disruption, right? And that's actually a measurable data point. And that's what Gallup sought out to do, was to measure that. So here's what has changed in this, you know, astonishingly short period of time, comparing Gallup panel surveys conducted March 13th through 16th versus March 27th through 29th. Now, obviously, at the time of this episode, we're into April, but it's good to look at from the 13th to the 16th of March to the 27th to the 29th of March, the changes that were noted. Four in particular. One is the percentage of full-time employees who say COVID-19 has disrupted their life a great deal or a fair amount jumped from 58% to 81%. Number two, 40% of U.S. employees say that their employer has frozen hiring. 33% say their employer reduced hours or shifts because of COVID-19, and that is up from 33% and 27% respectively. The third data point, something else that we have learned from this, the percentage of full-time employees working from home because of COVID-19 closures has increased from 33% to 61%. And we all kind of knew that one, right? I mean, we all know people that are working from home in some capacity. That's almost doubled, actually. And again, this is from March 13th through the 16th to March 27th through the 29th, right? Those panel surveys that were conducted. Not a long period of time has lapsed, and you know, we saw a pretty big jump. And the fourth data point that was interesting here, the percentage of parents working full-time who have kept their kids home from school because of COVID-19 increased from less than half, or somewhere around 44%, to everyone, 100% of those answering these panel surveys, they've got kids home from school. It's no surprise the combined effects of fear, right, of uncertainty about physical and financial health in the near future and the pressure of the required, you know, self-isolation, the stay-at-home orders, things like that have led to record levels of stress, anxiety, and it surpasses those recorded in past years, right? So compared with 2019 reports of daily worry, they've increased from 37 to 60% among full-time working population, and daily stress increased from 48 to 65%. Obviously, we're in the middle of a pandemic, so we would expect to see those numbers skyrocket. The question is, again, keeping the podcast in the context of the workplace, what can employers do to impact some of these numbers? So let's talk about employer response to COVID-19. So obviously, record level disruption means employers have had to respond at a record level pace, very rapidly, very quickly. Not a lot of employers are equipped for this, especially big, slow, bureaucratic organizations that needed to move quickly as a result of things unfolding, not just week to week or even day to day, but in many cases, hours at a time, we've had updates roll out from certain states, whether it's the federal government or state and local governments. But yeah, some larger companies, you know, really were not in a good position to be able to respond rapidly, and we could see the results. So how are employers doing in general? Well, on March 23rd, Gallup reported on five key elements that organizations can influence and measure to gauge their progress in meeting what we've discovered are the four needs of their followers, right? Their employees. That's trust, compassion, stability, and hope. I'm going to talk about these five key elements, all right? But, you know, Gallup has been tracking how well organizations are doing on each of these five elements, and we're going to get into those right now. Now, to help leaders of organizations audit whether they are meeting the four needs that I mentioned and gauge what their people are thinking, Gallup reviewed past research, applied it to the current COVID-19 crisis, and developed this short, a very short pulse survey that even you could send out. I'll have a link to this tool, and it will help you get a pretty high response rate, and your organization can see how well you're doing in these areas. Now, Gallup invested in this research and ongoing tracking as a public service, right? So you can execute this tool, get feedback on how you're doing today, and you can use your own preferred platform, or you can use the Gallup Access platform. I'll have a link. And the tool includes five items built around the most important actionable organizational practices that will increase trust, compassion, stability, and hope, right? Now, it's important to understand before we get into this, you know, the reason why I looked at Gallup when I was doing some research for this podcast episode. I knew I wanted to talk about, okay, I see a lot of stuff online about companies not doing this, companies not doing that. And, you know, I was baffled because I know a lot of companies are doing great things, and I wanted to see how well organizations are responding to this. So my first stop was Gallup, and I found this very interesting. I mean, Gallup has studied global citizens' worries, fears, confidence during, I would say, nearly every major crisis of the past 80 years, right? That we're talking the Great Depression, Pearl Harbor, World War II, the Kennedy assassination, riots in the 60s, 9/11, the 2008 global financial crash, and of course, they've got a lot of data coming in still on COVID-19. And one thing is clear, right? Citizens globally, not just in the U.S. and not just in the workplace, but citizens globally, they look to leadership for a crisis management plan and to provide confidence that there is a way forward that they can contribute to. And in times of crisis, there are two directions human nature can take us, right? Fear, helplessness, and victimization. So those are kind of lumped together. Fear, helplessness, victimization. Or self-actualization and engagement, taking action. So one is you're going to freeze, right? And the other one's you're going to fight. So of course, on the latter, if leaders have a clear way forward, human beings by nature, right? We're pretty resilient. You know, we've survived all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, there is a documented rally effect if leaders have the right way of communicating and have a clear way forward that they've actually presented to us. So Gallup analytics, they have found four universal needs that I mentioned: trust, compassion, stability, and hope. I want you to keep those four things in mind when we talk about these five areas that employers need to really excel at. All right, number one out of the five. Number one, my leadership has a clear plan of action. Now, organizations have improved in the clarity of their communication to employees, right? 52% of employees strongly agree that their employer has communicated a clear plan of action in response to the coronavirus, and that's an improvement of 15% points from just mid-March. Employees look to leadership to provide direction and stability. While there has been improvement, a lot of leaders are still keeping their employees in the dark. So communicating a clear path forward, how will the workplace, their company, whether they're in the middle of layoffs, folks working at home, folks continuing to come to work if they're essential, or a combination of all of those, has the organization clearly communicated a path forward? here's how we can survive and come out of the other side of this. And if they haven't, if they're really just in reaction mode, which a lot of companies are, try to get a step ahead, right? We've seen what's developed and what's happened. We're in a place now in the US anyway that we kind of know what's going on. We kind of know about the physical distancing, the masks, the temperature screenings, the updating your policy if you feel sick, stay home, communicating all of these things. Companies can do a much better job at laying all that out and saying, if we do these things, we can manage this risk effectively and still continue to operate under certain conditions and certain guidelines. One is engaging your safety and health professionals, but also engaging HR, engaging other members of leadership to make sure we cascade this communication down throughout the organization. We have to instill confidence that the organization has a clear plan of action and there is a path forward. We can continue to work through this together. And regular communication is key, making sure that we stay on top of this. The other thing that leaders have to do when we talk about a clear plan of action and a path forward, we also have to make sure that we are enforcing, and I'm using air quotes, but enforcing, not in a police state manner, but enforcing the guidelines and principles that the company communicates that will help us get out the other side, right? So if you say we're going to maintain physical distance, then here's how you enforce that. Or should I say facilitate that? We'll start with facilitate first, is rearranging workstations, getting managers and supervisors out on the production floor, in the offices, rearranging cubicles, putting up plexiglass when possible to create some barriers between workers where it's almost impossible to separate them. Staggering start times, shifts, work shifts, making sure we offset work shifts so workers aren't working face-to-face anymore. Making those little efforts, taking those little actions, that makes a huge impact in how employees think and feel about the future of not just their safety and health, but financial security and stability of the organization and their overall outlook on the company itself, right? That is, whether they choose to stay with this organization when we do come out the other side and get back to whatever normal looks like after all of this. But that is actually going to have a long-term effect. So, does my leadership have a clear plan of action? Is there a path forward? Can we get through this? There are some really easy ways for organizations to communicate this, okay? And it does go beyond just your emergency action plan and your pandemic flu plan that you trigger when people start getting sick or flu season rolls around. We're talking very tactical, immediate things that the organization can do and publicize and get workers' involvement in to actually instill some confidence, right? And that also touches on hope, right? That instills a sense of hope, like, look, we're going to get through this. This is going to be a disruption, but we're making it happen. We're making it work. I'm hopeful that the future is going to be bright. I mean, this is an organization that's investing in us right now. I mean, what else is going to come our way from this employer during normal circumstances? It boosts confidence and instills a sense of hope. So the second one, I feel well prepared to do my job. And the first one, we have a clear plan of action, will feed into this second one. I feel well prepared to do my job. There is a lack of progress in this area. March 13th to 16th, Gallup poll survey, 55% of full-time workers strongly agreed they felt they were prepared to do their job. That figure did not improve over a two-week period when they did another survey, right? It was at 52% as of March 27th. To 29th has slipped a little bit. And why? Because of layoffs. Folks that had to stay that were essential workers, they felt added pressure to pick up the slack because they had less workers there to do the job. And then stress and anxiety just naturally coming out of all of this. That led to some of this as well, right? Employers have had to design new remote jobs that didn't exist a few weeks ago. Think about that. In times of uncertainty and disruption, Gallup found these organizations need to refocus on basic engagement elements, right? Clarifying expectations, making sure employees have the materials and equipment to do the job that we're asking them to do. Reconfigure the job so that people can continue to do what they do best every day. You ask people to work from home. How's their internet connection? Do they have a reliable laptop? Are you asking them to use their own tools and equipment, computer, for example, and cell phone? You know, those are all things that play into this perception of, no, man, they sent me home and they want me to log on and do all these remote meetings. And I've got to take my kids' Chromebook that they got in middle school to get this to work. Or, you know, I don't have a very good, you know, data plan and I'm using my cell phone all the time. I don't have an office phone like I did at work. And employers need to be prepared to support them by providing some alternative options, whether it's helping them with a reimbursement for upgrading to a better data plan, an unlimited data package, making sure that they're able to remote in to access key sensitive work information. You know, VPN might be needed at times. So do we send them some equipment through from IT to support what normally would not have been a remote employee? You know, these employees may not have been issued some of this stuff because, you know, that was reserved for folks that travel and senior leaders. So a lot of employees feel like they were ill-prepared. The company did the right thing by still allowing them to work from home and keeping them on the payroll, which is great. Benefits and pay keep flowing, but they feel like they don't have what they need to do their job. Number three, my supervisor keeps me informed about what's going on. I talked about continuing to communicate. Here is an example where over-communication is really the best plan of action. The supervisor or manager, that is the conduit. They're responsible for making sure that the organization's response to COVID-19 is communicated to each of their direct reports, right? Only the direct manager can know each employee's individual situation and keep them informed, adjust expectations, coaching, accountability, and all in an effort to inspire high performance and confidence in what's going on in the organization. Here's what you don't want to do if you are a direct supervisor. You don't want to communicate doom and gloom. I'm not saying you have to be a yes person. I'm not saying you lie. That's unethical. Don't do that. There is a way to still communicate what's going on or not going on, or even deliver bad news in a professional way, right? In an effective way. So what companies can do for their managers? Brush up on some basic communication skills, crucial conversations, crucial confrontations. Those two programs are really effective. I've been through those. You know, going through some emotional intelligence online types of training. Prepare the managers to engage workers in really tough conversations and really lean on empathy, because these employees are going through an unprecedented time right now, as the rest of the world is going through. But this is going to be key, okay? My supervisor keeps me informed about what is going on. It isn't enough to just shoot off an email about things that are going on, but it's also about how we communicate, the manner, the language we use, our demeanor versus email versus text versus a phone call versus a group Skype or FaceTime meeting or something like that. And just keep in mind, mid-March, less than half employees, 48%, strongly agreed their immediate supervisor keeps them informed about what was going on in the organization as it relates to the impact of COVID-19. So those tips I just gave you, that's key. Have a daily check-in, and you increase that to a couple of times, three times a day, morning, mid-afternoon, and before, you know, you clock off for the day and call it a day, you know, have that touch point, you know, so that you can then set up for the next morning. And I think that that is going to be more effective in changing the perception employees have about everything that we've already talked about up to this third point. So keep that in mind. If you're a supervisor, ask yourself, how often am I checking in with my team? How often am I communicating what's going on and where we are? And number four, my organization cares about my well-being. If you're doing all these other three, number four would be a natural for you at this point. Now, before the coronavirus outbreak, right, work and life were more blended than ever before in 2020. Now, with millions of people required to work from home and with millions of kids kept home from school, blending work and life is even more complicated. There are no lines anymore. It's just one big melting pot. And, you know, it's creating all kinds of stress on employees' health and well-being, as well as family stress. So a key predictor of low worry and high confidence is whether each employee believes and experiences that the organization is looking out for their best interest. Now, Gallup has found, this is interesting, I'm going to send you in a couple of different directions here on this, but Gallup, I'm telling you, I've said it before on other podcasts, if you haven't bookmarked their website and made it a daily read, you should. Gallup has found 5 elements of well-being that each organization can act on in many different ways, right? Career, social, financial, community, and physical. And what they learned in mid-March when asked to consider the recent impact of COVID-19, less than half of employees, 45%, strongly agreed that their organization cares about their overall well-being in those 5 elements. Career, social, financial, community, and physical. Think about the companies that come to mind right now that are advertising, marketing, and have run commercials about all the things they're doing to support their workers and protect them and highlight them in the commercials. They even have, like, I think the largest supermarket chain in the world. I saw a commercial where all of the individual employees shot the commercial with their phones of them singing in the various stores and highlighting that their spirits are high, that they have a positive can-do attitude, and they're wearing all the right equipment and gear. I mean, you know, these companies are smart. They're actually showing the communities that they care for their workers. So there's career, there's social, financial, they're staying employed, they're continuing pay, community, obviously. We support the community. Is the company, or, you know, communicating in some way, shape, or form how the work that we are doing, whether it's remotely or coming in, especially for essential workers, how it actually directly impacts the community, right? And where you live. And then, of course, physical, making sure that we're taking breaks, making sure we're asking people, how do you feel? Are you getting enough exercise right now? You can't go to the gym. You can't go to the workout classes, the spas, and things like that. But are we communicating things that you can do at home? Are we giving them access to, you know, online types of workout programs that you can join? We're doing this remotely now too. It's pretty cool. But yeah, just keep that in mind. Less than 45% strongly agreed their organization cares about their overall well-being. And I just laid out some things that companies can do and are doing. And think about the companies that I'm going to go back to this. Think about the companies that come top of mind when you think about they're hitting on this career, social, financial, community, and physical well-being, and that you just see in commercials or hear about. And what can you do in your organization to improve this metric right here? Number 5, over the past 24 hours, how often have you been practicing physical distancing? Scientists that have studied COVID-19, designing sophisticated models and projections, believe extreme measures of physical distancing will be necessary to flatten the curve of this pandemic. We've all heard that, right? Employers play a major role in setting the expected norms, reinforcing what has proven to work in flattening the curve, and the essential role employees play so that everyone can get back to quote-unquote normal life sooner rather than later. And we're fortunate to have technology that can keep us connected, right, remotely. But we all now have a responsibility. It's a shared responsibility to do something temporarily in the short term that, you know, it kind of goes against our human nature, if you think about it. And that is to actually distance ourselves. And I'm not going to say socially. We distance ourselves physically, because socially we could still be connected. We could still socialize. We could still be sociable. We just can't be physically close to each other or near each other. So listen to this. Only 27% of U.S. employees, as of March 19, say that they always practice physical distancing. Another 40% say they practice physical distancing very often. So keep that in mind. What is the employer doing to, as I said in number 1, facilitate all of these things, make it easy to do, reinforce the expected norms, coaching when we need to. Everything from marking floors when workers come in, or if you're open to the public, only limiting, having somebody, you know, posted at the doors and the entrances, and making sure they only let certain number of people in, that we control the flow of traffic. Everything the employer can do to help control this, this is going to instill confidence in the workers and in the public, by the way, in the community, if you're open to the public, that this organization, this company values the community's well-being as well as the employees' well-being. So look, I want you to use Gallup's COVID-19 leadership audit, okay? They found that the audit can be completed with a high response rate in maybe a two-day window. And you'll know exactly how effectively you are responding to COVID-19. So I'm going to recommend you use this tool right away. I have a link to the COVID-19 leadership audit, and you should go ahead and employ this throughout your workforce and send this out to the remote workers. That's going to give you immediate feedback. So for everybody posting online, highlighting, you know, this company doesn't care about their workers, this company, I can't believe this company doesn't do this, that, the other. If you're a safety pro and you're listening to me right now, I'm going to challenge you to something. I want you to take all that wealth of knowledge and expertise you have as a safety professional and your years of experience that we have, okay? And I want you, instead of posting that sort of an offhanded comment that is really not productive and doesn't help anybody by saying, I can't believe this company is doing this, if you're sharing a news article, I want you to then instead post three things that company can do, provided that article you're reading is actually accurate, which I have a, you know, that's a whole nother podcast episode right there. But provided you're taking the article or the reference or whatever at face value, I want you to post three actions that employer can take right now that are very low cost, often free, things that they can do right now to change that perception, that can improve the health and safety of their workers or the public, if they're open to the public right now. Take your experience. I want you to be a consultant pro bono. I want you to share that experience, right? Three actions they can take. I challenge you to do that. At mention the company, at mention the CEO, at mention people that work there, managers, supervisors. Do it in a positive, proactive way. Be professional. Represent the safety profession as it should be represented, a profession that seeks to first serve without any expectation of anything in return. I challenge you to do that. I'm going to do the same. So I look forward to seeing your comments on LinkedIn. And let me know what you think about this topic. What do you think about the Gallup survey? Will it be beneficial to you? Will you use it? And if you do or have used it, comment on LinkedIn. I'll have posts for this episode on LinkedIn. Comment on whether or not you got some good useful results. Did it change the direction that your organization takes in dealing with COVID-19 in your organization? So look, remember those five things. My leadership has a clear plan of action. I feel well prepared to do my job. My supervisor keeps me informed about what is going on. My organization cares about my well-being. And over the past 24 hours, how often have I been practicing physical distancing? Focus on those five things. Let me know what you think, and we'll talk on the next Safety Pro Podcast episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Safety Pro Podcast, powered by iReport Source, the all-in-one digital safety solution. For info on how you can request a free demo on all the capabilities of iReport Source to streamline your business's safety management system, head over to thesafetypropodcast.com. We look forward to helping you manage safety on the next episode of the Safety Pro Podcast.